Pastor Candy Christmas of Regeneration Nashville, and I'm so happy to have this time together with you today. If no one's told you they love you yet, I want to be the first. I love you, and I'm very, very glad you're here. You know, I want to talk with you today about the keeping power of God, the keeping power of God. And we'll get to John 17 in a minute, but I just want to tell you where this originated this morning. I was drinking my coffee really early before daylight and reading John 17, the prayer of Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross. And he's praying for his disciples. And he was saying, you know, keep them. And I have kept them. Through your name, I have kept them. And so just the word kept, I just started researching the word kept, and I kind of want to just tell you what I have found, but we're not going to start in John 17. I want to start in Isaiah 26, verse 3, because this is a very familiar passage of Scripture, and it's a very comforting verse of Scripture, and it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." And so, you know, those two words go together, trust and keep. We trust in God. We put our hope, our trust, our faith in God, and he keeps us in perfect peace. And so this Hebrew word, the word keep here, is the word netsar, N-A-T-S-A-R, which means to guard, to watch over, to preserve carefully, to maintain under protection. Because we trust in him, the Lord keeps us, he guards us, he watches over us, he preserves us carefully. And, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, I don't know if you were following, you know, the Christian movement back in those days, but I remember people would get saved with these testimonies, you know, that and they would testify of things that they were saved out of that were unimaginable, you know, to a girl like me. I remember I saw this documentary on a man who was a Satanist, who worshiped Satan, and he was a warlock, and he was, you know, all the incantations and the sacrifices and things that that they did in Satan worship, and oh my goodness, the church was enthralled. I was enthralled by this testimony of, you know, the depths of sin that he was saved out of. And I remember a couple of rock singers that got saved, and they were talking about drugs and overdosing and, you know, tripping on LSD, and oh my, our mouths were just, you know, we just couldn't believe what we were hearing, and people would flock to hear this. But, you know, you let somebody get up and testify, hey, I was a virgin when I got married, and I've never drank an alcohol before, and I've never smoked a cigarette, and I, you know, and people are like, oh my goodness, that poor guy, he had nothing to say. But can I tell you that sometimes that the keeping power of God is such a miraculous testimony. You know, the devil is a liar and the father of him, and he wants to drag people down to the depths of sin, but the Bible says forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to the mark for the prize of the high calling. And so many times it is the keeping power of God in this day and age. You know, the Bible says where sin does abound, God's grace does that much more abound. I thank God for his saving grace and his keeping power. And so this paints a picture of the guarding and watching over and preserving carefully. It paints a picture of the watchman guarding the city. And this verse doesn't merely just mean God gives peace, but his peace becomes the guard. I will keep in perfect peace. I will guard. in perfect peace. So he guards the inner life with his peace. The peace itself becomes a protective wall around the people of God. So the Bible says here, in perfect peace, I will keep in perfect peace. And that word is shalom, shalom. So it is shalom, peace, to the second power, complete peace. It's peace multiplied by peace, perfect peace to the second power, complete peace, whole peace, peace in every direction. F.B. Meyer said this, the only way to keep ourselves is to be kept by God. I want to go back, if we can, to John 17. I'd like to start at verse 11 because this is what just got me going down this path today. This has really just blessed me and kept me because, you know, many times we as believers, we think, oh, thank God the Lord has saved my soul. And one day after a while, I'll go to heaven. But until then, I'm on my own. I got to take care of myself. I got to bind the devil. You know, I got to fight the good fight. But you know what? I just want to remind you, I want to pause right here and say this. The keeping power of Jesus Christ is watching over you. He's guarding you like a watchman over the city. So John 17 says this. This is Christ, and he's praying in the garden. He said, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. So Jesus Christ is about to die on the cross. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Can I pause right here? I want to tell you something very quickly. Yesterday, Pastor Kent and I, we were on our property, and we were going through kind of a wooded area. Pastor Kent and I, we live way out in the country. And I spotted a snake. And this thing, I'm not kidding you, that thing was about this big around. And he was like 5 or 6 feet long. And my initial reaction, I said, oh, Jesus, like that. In the name of Jesus. That thing was the ugliest. You know, it was hot. And my skin was standing. I had chill bumps all over me like it was sub-zero degrees because I just can't stand a snake. And I just said, Jesus, like that. I want you to know something. I'm telling you the truth. That thing froze. He did not move. He stood straight still. My husband and I, we walked over to that snake. I wish we'd had something to kill him with. We did not have anything to kill that thing with. But he froze, and he did not move a muscle. And we went over not far from him and looked at him, and he was stiff as a board. And I told him, I told my husband, it's because I said the name of Jesus, that snake could not move. So this is what Jesus Christ said. He says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them I've lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you. And these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Jesus Christ is saying, we have all that we need right here in this world to walk through this land of darkness and evil prevailing. How? through his name, through the name of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I've gone through, we were just talking about this the other day, Pastor Kent and our son Nicholas, we were riding in the car, and Nicholas reminded us of this, that we had stopped at a red light. We'd gotten off the interstate and we had stopped on the ramp at a red light, and we had the green light, and it was our turn to turn, and a guy came flying through that intersection. He never paused. He never stopped. And Nicholas just said, "Jesus," like that. And my husband threw on the brakes, and had Nicholas not said the name of Jesus, there's a great possibility that I wouldn't be sitting here before you, because that guy, it looked like he was going 70 or 80 miles an hour, never paused through that intersection, and we had the right of way. You know, sometimes you don't have time to pray. Sometimes you don't have time to intercede and speak in tongues, and sometimes all you just have time to say is Jesus. There is power. There is keeping power through the name of Jesus. So this Greek word that Jesus said that you should keep them from the evil one, it is the Greek word T-E-R-E-O, terio. Possibly, meaning to keep safe, to guard from loss, to preserve unharmed, to watch attentively. And Jesus said this, "I have guarded them. I've watched over them. I preserve them." You know, when you talk about keeping, I remember when my children were small, and I would get somebody to keep my kids. You know that term. It's another term for babysitting, guarding, to keep my kids. And I remember one time Pastor Kent and I, we were on the evangelistic field, and I had this girl keeping my kids. And so when they're keeping your children, you fully expect them to be present and to watch over them. And so little did I know that this girlfriend, this babysitter, had a boyfriend, and her parents did not want her seeing this boyfriend. He was not a good boy. And so little did I know that when she would come to my home, she would use this as an excuse to see him, and she would run off and be with this boy and leave my children unguarded, uncared for. And when I was 1,000 miles away on the evangelistic field doing work for the Lord, my kids were unkept. They were unguarded. And I can't tell you how brokenhearted and devastated I was when I found out this news 1,000 miles away that my children were not being guarded and kept. I want you to know that God that keeps you, that watches over you, he never sleeps, he never slumbers, he never goes on vacation, he doesn't take a break. He guards you, he guides you with his eye. So this again is shepherd language. It carries the idea that none slips through his hand. Jesus said this. He said, "I've preserved them. I've watched over them." And it brought to memory the passage of scripture in John 10. Jesus is saying this in verse 27. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." He says, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand." Why? Because they're being kept. They're being guarded. They're being watched over. This is shepherding terms here. A shepherd, he didn't go home for supper. He didn't clock out at 5 o'clock at night and come back the next morning. He slept on the field. He slept in the pastures with his sheep. He guards them all the time. God's power is stronger than human weakness. It puts me in remembrance of the Aaron prayer in number 6. It says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless you. I just speak that right now over your life, over the things that trouble you, over the things that alarm you and keep you up. The Lord bless you and keep you and guard you and protect you. This word, keep you, in Hebrews, sorry, Numbers 6:24, is the Hebrew word shamar, S-H-A-M-A-R. And it's one of the richest covenant words in Scripture. And again, it means to guard, to hedge around, to protect, to attend carefully, to preserve. I don't know about you, but that gives me such comfort and great peace to know that I'm just not out here on my own, but that God is guarding me. And you know, I want to pause here and say this. Yes, sometimes bad things happen to good people. Sometimes we lose loved ones. Sometimes we get a diagnosis that strikes fear in our heart. But I want you to know this. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comforts me. This is a shepherd keeping the sheep, a watchman guarding the city, and God preserving Israel. This is a picture of God surrounding a person with attentive care, no distant oversight, but close, deliberate protection. Psalm 121:7 says, "The Lord preserves you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." I wish, if I could just encourage you to read something, I wish you would go and read Psalm 121, because often this is kind of an overlooked passage of Scripture, but it will give you peace and comfort. Psalm 121 said, "The Lord will preserve you from all evil." This is one of the clearest passages of keeping. He keeps your soul. He keeps your going out. He keeps your coming in, now and forever. Jude 24 says, "Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling." You know, I think of so many times in my life that God has kept me. You know, he kept me from losing my mind. He kept me from doing myself bodily harm when I was depressed. He's kept me out of the divorce courts. When our son passed away, his comfort kept me. He kept our family. He held us close. In times of turmoil and trouble, he's kept our church. He's kept our ministry from devastation. He's kept us. I just want us to pause. Sometimes we look at the negative and we say, look what we've been through. Look what, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. But praise God, he's kept me. I thank God for the grace of God. If I have a testimony today, it is that God has kept me. He's preserved me. He's watched over me. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, "He is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Paul trusted God with his life, his future, his soul, with suffering, and with destiny. 1 Peter chapter 1 and 5 says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation." Here the word "kept" is military language. This is a military word that means guarded by soldiers. Boy, I like that one. I really like that one. His angels were guarded by soldiers. A.W. Tozer says this, we are safe not because we hold tightly to Jesus, but because he holds tightly to us. Isn't that wonderful? We feel like, man, I'm just hanging on by a thread. Oh man, I'm hanging on to a moving locomotive. No, the Lord is holding on to us. And sometimes when we think that God is a million miles away and the heavens are brass, we don't understand that he's holding us closely to his heart. And if you stop and listen very closely, you can feel the heartbeat of God. You can hear the heartbeat of God and feel his breath on your face. Psalm 91, I'll just put you in remembrance of this passage of scripture. I love it. Says, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So his angels are keeping you. He shall give his angels charge. What's charge? Charge means a command. Take care of my children. Go down and protect them. Go and see about Daniel and close the mouth of the lion. Go and see about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. I don't even want their clothes to smell like smoke. Go see about my son and my daughter that has a prodigal that they're praying for, or someone who's depressed, whatever your situation may be. He has given his angels charge to keep you in all of your ways. Andrew Murray says this, the power of God that saves is also the power of God that keeps. Philippians 4:7 says, the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. So this word keep means to guard like soldiers around a city, and peace becomes our divine security. I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture, but I want you to know that we have a firm scriptural foundation for what we're talking about today, what we're believing. I want to give you so much. I want to give you peace to know that you're not in this battle, and that you're not in this fight by yourself. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, the Lord is faithful, who shall sustain you and keep you from evil. John 17:15, keep them from evil. This is Jesus Christ's prayer for you. Charles Spurgeon said this, the God who has been sufficient until now shall be trusted to the end. You know, as I was meditating on this, I was just thinking about how that many of us think, okay, we know that God can, but we feel like our circumstance is unique where somehow God can't. We know that he comes through for so many people. We hear their testimonies, and it builds our faith that we know God can. But somehow our situation is unique. You know, God's not going to override my child's will to save him, or you don't know the circumstance that we find ourselves in. And we find out that we've colored outside the lines, right? That somehow our situation is so unique that God could do it if it was that way, but because it's this way, he can't. And I want you to know that God can. That not only can he, but he will. And a lot of times we put lines around God. And I want you to know that God gets outside the lines that me and you have mentally. He's able to do exceed. I think probably every podcast, I probably quote this scripture, but I love it and it fits right here. So I'm going to say it again. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we think and all that we ask. What a powerful scripture. I just want to remind you, the keeping power of God doesn't mean that believers don't face trials, attacks, sufferings, or weakness. But it does mean that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing, nothing, nothing. I want to read that to you, if that's all right. Romans 8:37 says, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death is the last enemy that's going to be destroyed. But in this passage, it's put there first. It doesn't matter how big it seems, it's first, okay? He says, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." Who can separate us from His keeping power? Who can separate us from the watchman on the wall who watches over our lives? You know, I want to just end this with a little story. When I was a girl, you know, I sang gospel music with my family. I literally grew up on a bus singing gospel music, and we sang at festivals, and we sang in other countries, sang around the world, and we were in the Shenandoah Valley, and we were singing at a gospel music festival, and my family group were to sing there the very last night of a 7-day festival. And so it was outdoors, and people had their lawn chairs on grassy hills and would sit there and listen to gospel music. And so my family, we closed out this 7-day festival. We were the last group on, and it was a glorious night. Thousands of people on this hill, the stage sitting out there in the nighttime. Well, the only place for men and women to go to the restroom were these porta-johns. And so all along the side of the hill, there were these porta-johns. So just keep that in mind. 7 days they've been used. So I was raised very conservative. My dad, he didn't like me wearing jewelry. He didn't like me wearing makeup and, you know, all this stuff. And he was constantly, you know, making me take off my lipstick or making me take off my earrings because he was extremely conservative. I thank God for it. It's wonderful raising, great, great raising that I had. But so we're about to go out on stage in this gospel music festival in Shenandoah Valley. And so I've got this big old ring on my finger. And it was a real ring. It was a cocktail ring. I was so proud of that. I'm going out on stage, and my dad says, "You're not wearing that. You can take that off right now." So I didn't know what to do with it. So I took it off, and I had a girlfriend standing there. She's about my age. I think I was maybe 16 years old. And so I took off this cocktail ring, and I said, "Will you keep this for me until I'm finished singing?" And she said, "Yes, I'll gladly keep it." She put it on her finger. So I go out on the stage with my parents, my family. We're singing gospel music. We're out there for an hour, and I come back. And I get off the stage, and there stands my friend, and her face is so grim. And she said, "I hate to tell you this, but I have lost your ring. It was a little bit big for my finger, and it slipped off my hand." Well, it was nighttime. The dew was on the grass. The grass was sparkling. So everything, you know, looked like a cocktail ring. Everything looked like, you know, and just sparkling the grass. So her dad was there, and he said, "Where did you go? What did you do?" And so they retraced her steps to that porta-john, to one of those porta-johns lined up over there. Sure enough, her dad went inside that porta-john and rolled up his sleeve and put his hand down in that porta-john and felt around all in there, and believe it or not, he found my ring inside that porta-john, and they brought me that ring in a plastic bag. Her dad felt the responsibility of keeping that ring. She gave me her word that she would keep my ring. And he felt the responsibility and the weight of that enough that he felt around in a port-a-john and he found it. Now you say, well, why would you tell me that? Because I want you to know the depth of God's love. Corrie ten Boom, she put it like this, and I think you'll like it. She said, there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. I love the way Paul said it. He said, I'm persuaded that death nor life, nor angels or principalities or power, nothing present or anything to come, nor height nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love, from the keeping power. No pit, no pit, no depth, no sin. Too deep. That God is not willing to reach his hand down and rescue you out of that pit. Nothing shall be able to separate us. Just rejoice today in the keeping power of your Heavenly Father. I love you so much. I appreciate you being with me. I hope I'll see you next time.